good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us, you know that we're going through a series this summer. Of all of the series that I've done in prior years, I'm doing them in one broadcast overviews, sometimes a six-part series into one or a three-part series into one. Today, I'm going to do a four-part series and give you that overview, 10 takeaways. It's called He is Our Chief Shepherd. That's the portrait of God that we'll be covering today. And again, if you've been with us, you know we've covered portraits like last time, how He is our daily grace, He is our prayer focus, He is our abiding love, He's our baseline peace, He's our ultimate truth, all kinds of portraits. And these overviews are designed to just touch your heart, and the Lord may say, hey, go check out the series, and you can go to my website, markpg.org. markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God. And just click on the broadcast box and then click on the Portraits of God box, and then you'll see a list of all of these series. This one's number 91, by the way, if you're a note taker, the series I did back in 2023. And this overview is number 124. So anyway, I'm very excited about just sharing with you this particular portrait of God today, how He is our Chief Shepherd. We'll be in 1 Peter 5 and 1 Peter 2 and Psalm 23 and Matthew 9 and John 10, all over the place, because He is indeed our Chief Shepherd. And as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I love coming together with my brothers and sisters. Lord, I love sitting at Your feet personally, privately, in the morning, in the evenings, midday, whenever. But I also love sitting at Your feet with my brothers and sisters as we go through Your love letters and just get a glimpse of how You love us more than we can possibly imagine. And Lord, as today we take a journey in discovering how You are our Chief Shepherd, oh, I pray You'll touch us just exactly where we need to be touched. Oh, we ask for nothing less. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you have a Bible or device handy, we're going to be starting over in 1 Peter chapter 5. And to put it in context, we're going to start right at verse 1 to see this particular portrait of God begin to unfold how He is our Chief Shepherd. And again, this is a series of four messages back from 2023, and you can go and scroll down on my website at markpg.org for message series number 91. Well, here's what the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory to be revealed. By the way, I got to stop a moment. You know, elder, I really mean the Bible means elders when it says elders, those who've lived a few decades and seen a lot of stuff, witnessed the sufferings of Christ in this particular case, but witnessing in our day the sufferings of people in the name of Christ and seeing the messiness of this world and how this just, this is why we need a Savior. There's something that decades worth of living just embeds in you, the reality of the complexity and the layers of life and the grace upon grace of the Lord. Yeah, elders means elders to me for sure. It goes on to amplify in verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. So he continues with the shepherding metaphor here, and the flock of God is a people of God, and how it's most important to recognize in this text, it's saying, don't lord it over them. It's not a power position, it's a service position. It's a leadership position, and not a taskmaster type of a thing, and prove to be examples to the flock. And then he gets to verse 4 when he says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. All right, I just got inspired to do a series on this particular passage. I mean, this would be such a marvelous extended series on just this passage alone, but we have other scriptures to consider as well. This, if you're a note taker, is going to be number one, where I just want to highlight in the first of 10 takeaways how the Lord, our chief shepherd, will come for us. That's what it specifically says. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. Someday, the chief shepherd is going to come again and take us into himself, either on the day that we physically die and Jesus sweeps us up and takes us to a place that he's prepared just for us, as he says in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. The chief shepherd will come again and take you with himself, that where he is, we may be also. That is our chief shepherd, as it says here. And just to comment on this passage, I love how it has this juxtaposition of elders who are called to shepherd the flock among them by example and with grace and with humility. And that comes with age. You know, as we get older and older, I'm discovering that with every one new thing I discover about the Lord, his heart and his ways, it spawns two or three new questions of things that I don't know. So the graph of the things that I don't know about the Lord and his way is increasing faster and steeper than the graph of the things that I do learn about the Lord along the way through his word and in this life. And so the gap gets wider and wider between what I do know about him and but what I don't yet know about the infinite glorious God of the ages. And that's what humbles us, my friends, from the inside out. We can try to practice humbleness, humility. We can try to put on that personality type and say things humbly and all that stuff. And well, that's a good start. I mean, it is. But the Lord wants that to come from within. And what I'm sharing with you, that to the degree we learn more and more about the Lord, but then discover there's more and more we don't know about him because of his infinite character and reality and presence, the more humility we will walk in, the more we will model that to the flock. And in this way, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ with a chief shepherd who characterizes himself over in Matthew 11 when he said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart. That's the spirit of our chief shepherd. And he's saying in this passage, that should be the spirit of those that are elders among you, to oversee the flock, to shepherd the flock, to care for the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, we will all receive, those who are of the Lord, those who are in covenant with him, children of God, bride of Christ, will receive the unfading crown of glory from the chief shepherd. And by the way, I always love this designation as a chief shepherd, because it's a vivid reminder to us that when we talk about the local church, Who is the chief shepherd of the church? It is Jesus Christ himself. When we talk about church polity or church structure and how decisions are made, you know, you have about seven different models. You have two of them that are pastor-led models or pastor-rule models, pastor-led models. Other churches go with an elder rule or an elder-led model, and those are two different types. Then you have those that go with congregational rule, and there are two different types there, congregational-led, congregational rule. And then you have the blending of all of those in some models, and that's what I call the seventh one, seven different models of church leadership. But in every one of them, whether the variations of pastor rule or elder rule or congregational rule, above that, above all those models, with a big umbrella, is Jesus' rule, chief shepherd. At the end of the day, we want to know what the chief shepherd thinks on a matter. And that's why I always talk about how we get to sit at his feet and gaze in his eyes and let him speak to us, whether we're listening to a radio broadcast or a message on Sunday morning in our home churches with our church family, or in podcasts, or our own Bible study, or reading, we are, or in counseling, or one-on-one lunches, or elders meetings, or deacon meetings, whatever. In every case, we're seated at the feet of the Lord to hear from our chief shepherd. We're only under shepherds. Wow, powerful. All right, well, I spent a lot of time on number one. We got nine more to go. Let me share with you that the Lord, our chief shepherd, guards our souls. He guards our souls. If you're a note taker, number one was he will come for us. Number two, he guards our souls. Number three is going to be he restores our souls. Let me give you the first one, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Oh man, I love that. It's such a good, good feeling. It's a wonderful reality that he guards our souls to the degree we abide in him, commune with him. To the degree we saturate ourselves with his word, he is guarding our souls, my friend. That's what shepherds do. You know, to amplify the metaphor, you think about the flock out in the meadows, out in the mountainsides. There's a lot of dangers out there. If they stray away from the gathering of the rest of the flock, there are people who don't go to churches. They don't have a church family. They're doing Christianity or trying to on their own. It doesn't work that way. Out there by yourself, there are ravines that sheep can fall into and get stuck. There is poisonous snakes and there are other predator animals. And, you know, you can fall and fall upside down, you know, and not be able to get back up. We'll talk about that in a few minutes and stuff. And you can get lost and separated and starve. So that's why the shepherds guard you and want you to stay close with him and with the flock. He guards our souls. Well, here's number three. Not only does the Lord, our chief shepherd, not only will he come for us, not only does he guard our souls, but he restores our souls. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3 is the classic passage for this. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. I used to have a big problem with the phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I've mentioned this in previous broadcasts. I kind of would get the picture for years about parents trying to make their kids go to bed at night. You know how that can happen if you have children. They want to stay up. They're not sleepy. They're playing in the room. They want a glass of water and stuff, and it can turn into a frenetic interchange between parents and kids. Now get down, I'm going to make you lie down. If you don't lie down and go to sleep, I'm going to sell all your toys or something like that, you know. Well, that's kind of the picture that came to my mind, but this is a very different picture. It's more like a lifeguard diving into the water to save someone who's drowning and frantically waving their arms and legs. And when he or she, the lifeguard, gets there, the job is to say, okay, just lie down, lie back, let me heal. I got you, relax, relax. Lie down, it's okay, I got you. That's the picture here. We get so frantic, so frustrated, so angry, so disoriented, so bitter, so frightened. We're frantic. Okay, shh, shh, shh. Let's lie back. It's okay. I got this. I got you. Shh. He restores our souls. Oh, I love that. So much more to say. I hope you'll check out that series at markpg.org. Well, this goes on to share with us in this metaphor of the Lord as our chief shepherd, this portrait that he also rescues us constantly. Now, this dovetails with what we just said, but I want you to see it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It says, seeing the crowds, this is Jesus, seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Well, we get upside down in our way so often, and that's what a downcast sheep is. And, you know, there's so much wool that we can see these sheep get upside down on their backs and then not be able to get right side up. And if somebody with compassion doesn't come along, a shepherd or a passerby, and flip them back over, they will die. And you know, we get flipped over so easily in this world. There's so many things going on. He rescues us constantly. Another application is how this is salvation. You know, he flips you over to save you and all, but then it's also in our walk with him when we get disoriented, he'll flip us back over so we don't die in our bitterness, in a sense, figuratively die, not literally die, and all. So I love this picture of how he rescues us constantly. I am so prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love, and then I become downcast, upside down, and he has to rescue me. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what compassion he has for us. May I just share with you, my friends, if you're going through a time when you feel distant, when you feel estranged from the Lord, when you've run off or you're kind of ignoring him, getting preoccupied, upset, recluse, and you're afraid to come back, he's going to berate you, he's going to slap you around or something. It's not like that. It's like the prodigal son's father who welcomed the son who had squandered his inheritance, made a fool of himself, spoiled the family's name. But when he came back with a broken and contrite heart, seeing that he was a downcast sheep, a runaway sheep, the father was there to welcome him with open arms. He rescues us constantly because we're prone to wonder. Oh, I love that. Well, number five is the Lord, our chief shepherd, speaks to his own. Now we go over to John chapter 10. If you're following along and picking it up in verse 3, it says, but the one in verse 2, starting the context there, but the one who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Two things I want to share with you here. Number five, he speaks to his own. John chapter 10, verses 3 and 5. The sheep listen to his voice, and they know his voice. Have you ever wondered how you could hear the voice of God? Do you know how you can spot the voice of God as opposed to the voice of the enemy or your own flesh that's speaking in your heart and thoughts? How do we know the difference? Familiarity. The more time you spend in his word and in prayer, the more you listen for his whispers from above, you get to know that voice. You know the spirit of that voice. And you know, when sometimes we think about shepherds and sheep, we might think about ranchers and cattle drives where they're riding around and they've got these dogs and these horses and they're keeping them together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yelling, yelling, and screaming. That's not what happens with sheep. A shepherd, a real shepherd, can just go and speak to the sheep. Say, okay, time to go. And the sheep listen to him and he just starts walking and they will follow him. Why? They know his voice. They trust his voice. He may be one who sings or speaks to them in the dead of night, and they hear that soothing sound, and they know that voice. And then in the busyness of the daylight and the busyness of going about our own lives, we hear that voice in the noise, because he does speak to his own. He also calls us by name, as we saw in verse 3. Oh, I love this. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When you read the Gospels and the resurrection accounts, and when Mary goes to the tomb and it's rolled away and the body is gone and she's distressed. Where is he? Where is he? And then someone calls and starts speaking with her, and she thinks he's a gardener. But then he calls her by name, Mary, Mary. And she notices, it's my Lord, it's Jesus. My friend, he calls you by name. He designed you, you're unique. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. He loves to call you by name. Listen for those whispers. He speaks to his own. He calls us by name. And number 7, he saves us as the door. He saves us as the door. So this is verse 7 here and following. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And then in verse 9, if anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. This is one of the many passages where we see that Jesus is the only way to salvation. He said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And this metaphor here in John chapter 10, he is the door. Thank God we don't have to crash through any walls or climb over them. We wouldn't be successful if we tried. The only way to have eternal life, the only way to have personal covenant relationship with Christ is through the door, and his name is Jesus. Well, the passage goes on, and we see in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he gives us abundant life. The chief shepherd gives us abundant life. Listen to verse 10. The thief, that is the enemy, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. And once again, that dovetails with John 14 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not just any kind of life, it's an abundant life. It's a grace upon grace kind of life. I have so much in store for you. To the degree you abide in me, you will bear more and more fruit. But if you don't abide deeply within me, or kind of casually or intermittently or stuff, you won't have much fruit. I just love this promise. When you find yourself astray, not bearing fruit, the thief has stolen you away. He's seduced you away. Oh, my friend, abide in Christ, and you will experience more and more of the abundant life that he's talking about right here. Well, then John 10 goes on to verse 11. And as we're winding this down to number 9 and 10, the Lord, our chief shepherd, not only will come for us, number 1, not only does he guard our souls and restores our souls and rescues us constantly and speaks to his own and calls us by name and saves us as the door and gives us abundant life, but he also lays down his life. That's number 9 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, well, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters the flock. He flees because he is a hired hand and does not care for the sheep, but not the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, is not a hireling. He will lay down his life for his sheep, and he did it on the cross to cover our sin, to die for our sin, to pay for our sin, that we can have a covenant relationship with him, become justified, declared righteous, because he paid the price for our sin. We marry him. When two people get married, Their mutual assets and liabilities come each other's. Well, Jesus has nothing but assets and we have nothing but liabilities. His blood covers our sin when we come into oneness, into covenant, into salvation in Him. He laid His life down for us. He is the good shepherd that lays down His life, the chief shepherd that lays down His life. Well, lastly, as we get to verse 14, I love this. The Lord, our chief shepherd, knows us as His own. He knows us as His own. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd and I know my own. My own know me. And just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I laid down my life for the sheep. This brings me tremendous comfort and reassurance, my friends, because He knows me through and through. He created me. From the beginning, He knows the plans He has in store for me. He knows the callings He has in store for me. Excuse me. And He works with me. And He sticks with me. And He opens my eyes. And He has forgiven me of my sin. And we get to walk with Him. He knows us and still loves us, even though we're ragamuffins. Oh, what a chief shepherd we have. Well, Lord, we thank You for our brief journey, this overview of how You are our chief shepherd, and we yearn to know more. Thank You, Lord, for loving us this much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you check out my website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our chief shepherd.